Let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We are going to start reading from there today. Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This to the glory of God the Father. Somebody say amen to that. All right, let me just quickly read one more. Let's get to the book of Hebrews. Just read something else there. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, but let me see whether... Okay, let's start from verse 1. Now, before I read this, let me remind us that the book of Hebrews, of course we know, is a list, a very long list of the heroes of faith. Prominent amongst them are people like Moses, you know, and co. But Abraham being about the most prominent, the heroes of faith. Others are listed, Joseph, you know, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and all these people who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness they were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. So even women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so they might obtain a better resurrection. And all of that. So all these people, some were stoned, sawn in two, all of these things by faith. Some were put to death with a sword, and all these things. Now, all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive the thing really that God promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Okay? That's chapter 11, all right? Said they will not reach perfection without us. Now, chapter 12 now says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let me just emphasize, this cloud of witnesses is what we just read in Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes people interpret that saints are looking at you. Nobody is looking at you. This is the cloud of witnesses. That is, they left behind their testimony of what happened, what it means to walk with God, the experience of faith, that is their witness. So you have a cloud of them, all right? They are not spectators. Do you follow my point? They are people who are bearing witness, or who bear witness, that this is what it means to walk by faith. Now, sometimes we look at that, they are spectators cheering. Have you heard anybody cheering you on? Nobody's cheering you on. Let's relax, okay? Okay, it's the witness is what you read in chapter 11 here. Is that okay? It's abundant. No, like I told you, one of the greatest messages I've heard in my life The one day I can tell you that a man came to preach and the Lord said to him, when you get there, preach to, you know. Of course, I know it feels like that many times, you know. I get testimonies. You pray, three people come and say, you were talking to me. Who was I not talking to? Do you follow? And so I know I will feel like that, except that when the man began to preach, in this particular case, he specifically mentioned my name. When I told my wife later, did you notice that? She said no. I had to, good enough, I had the tape. I went and wound the tape back for her and played that segment. Of course, he just said it in passing. You understand? Just in passing. You need to pay attention to have heard it. So he just said, he mentioned my name. I said, did this? Ah, that's when she realized, wow, that really happened. So that message really blessed me. If I have to count on my, on one hand, to be one of the messages I'll put in there that blessed me the most all my life. All my life. Okay? What am I referring to it? He said the book of Job was placed in the Bible to cure the backsliding of saints forever. That's a cloud. Do you understand? That's a witness I wanted to say. The book of Job, he said, was placed in the Bible to cure the backsliding of saints forever. That there is nothing you want to go through now that you say you are angry and you want to backslide. You know what it's called? You know, those of you growing up with deeper life, you know about backsliding very well. Uh-huh. A lot of Christians, modern Christians, they don't even know about backsliding. Because whether the Christian goes or not, it looks the same, behaves the same. Those days, they know brought down backsliding. You know, we knew the meaning of backsliding. Uh-huh. He said it was put in the Bible to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. That there is nothing you want to go through in this life now that you will be justified to speak against the Lord, to backslide from your faith, to give up on faith. Maybe you don't understand what Job went through. There is nothing you are going through that Job did not go through double, triple, 10 times that. Many people who are grumbling and complaining have not even seen 1% of Job's suffering. They've not even seen 1%. One, like this. Let me tell you what Job was. He was the richest man in his area. I can add this one to it. The Bible didn't say it like that, but trust me, he was the healthiest man for his age in that area. His daughters were very beautiful. Yeah, I know, because when God restored him, there's a reason why I said that. Fine young men, rich, successful man he was. If his children, fine young men. Job was rich and successful. And then all these children died in one day. They didn't die 2 days. You know, like, okay, maybe one fell sick this year, then the other one died next year. No, in one day. Look, I've seen a man, all right, I met him, I told you guys about it, who lost 4 children. 4 adults. No, not one day. That's the point. For 4 different reasons. The last one died. We had to conduct an autopsy to also be sure. It was a brain tumor. The other one died from typhoid fever. But yeah, that was that one I witnessed was his 4th. But it were different days, different years. It was a terrible experience, but at least the calamity didn't hit him, goes down, like we say. Job had how many children? Was it 10? All 10 died in one day. While his children were dying, his company was on fire. His staff were being killed by armed robbers. They burned down his warehouse. I'm using modern words now. His ship on the high seas sank. A torpedo hit it, or hit them. All the ships he had on high seas, torpedoes hit them at the same time. All the sailors drowned. Only one member of the crew of one of the ships managed to get into the lifeboat and make it to shore, just to tell the story of what the pirates did to them. In one day, how that guy didn't go mad? How he didn't go mad should be studied. I'm sure the Holy Spirit held his head like this. Don't go mad. Don't go mad. Don't go mad. No, it's a kind of thing. Just say, no, this must be a dream. This cannot happen in real life. And then What did he do? He knelt down and worshipped. I said, the Lord gave. Now the Lord has collected everything back. Are you getting my point? All he did was to worship. So that man preached that day and said, see, what do you want to go through? Then you now say, God fails me. One stupid girl failed that exam, said, God has failed me again. And she put it on Twitter. There are things where you want to say, you put your mouth in a toilet bowl and say it into the pit. Do you follow my point? You finish saying it, you flush it. Let the bacteria and the worms be eating it down there. You don't put it on social media. There are times you say, Lord, I need to see you inside the room. Let's fight it out. Fighting the Lord is not too much of an issue. There's a guy who did it in the Bible. Just that he lost his hip in the process, but at least he tried. When it was done, his hip was gone. But at least he can go. He say, who did you wrestle? He say, I wrestled the Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania. Hulk Hogan. He say, me, I wrestled the Lord. Did you survive? Yes, my hip did not. You can do that. Without going on social media and disgrace God and make yourself a bad example for people to follow. Let me tell you the truth there. This life, you are an example. Somebody is following. You are an example. Somebody is following. Those of you who want to be pastors because you think pastors are enjoying. See, the problem you have, all right, is when God starts judging you, that's where you will have. Say, he talked nonsense. Okay, judge him for what he said and what he made people hear. You know, if you read the Bible, sometimes when God is cutting judgment, you're like, is it not one thing? He said, no. I told Adam, because you listen to the voice of your wife, first thing. Number two, you ate of the fruit. I said you shouldn't eat. Of the tree, I said you shouldn't eat. Another one. But it was one occurrence. Doesn't matter. Jeroboam sinned and made Israel sin. Two different. Now, meanwhile, it's one thing he did though. He built an idol. Two extremes of Israel. And God said, for the sin he committed, I made Israel to commit. So for the things you posted, the thing you said, which is bad, and you made people to hear. That's how God will count for you. There are things you do that normally is not really too much of a bad thing in itself, but you just set a bad example for those who follow you. That is just a bad example for those who follow you. So a young woman got up and put on social media that God has failed me again. Because this little rascal wrote an exam to use to japa and failed. Not final year exam to leave school. Maybe test of English language as a foreign, if you want to go abroad, you say, come and speak English for us. When he said that this is parallelogram, they said, this one, you can't come to the UK, leave him. You have to arrange your L and your right properly. Even though for me, English is also a second language, like most Nigerians, but as I speak in English since I was like 3, as soon as you get into nursery school, the school I went to those days was a private school, and they flogged you for speaking vernacular. They used to call it vernacular. And our class, the job of a class monitor is nothing but writing the name of those who spoke vernacular. So you came to school, they banned you from speaking any other thing. So I learned to speak English, converse in English normally since I was a little, fellow. All right? I mean, I'm talking about the age of 6, stuff like that. Uh-huh. So when people say English as a second language, say for me, is it a second language? I can't pray in any Nigerian language. I definitely can't pray in Yoruba because I'm not fluent in it at all. I don't know which words to tell the Lord. I can't. I can't have a heated conversation in it. I can't. Now, you know what I'm saying? So, So I went to school. I assumed that's how it was with everybody in my class. So one of my classmates wanted to do exam to go abroad. So when I was there, he failed. I said, how can you fail English as a test of, you know what, IELTS, they call it there. How can you fail English competency? How can you do that? They said, no, there's a part in which you will hear. Is it not Queen Elizabeth those that was speaking? Now it's King Charles. But they said my guy failed. I was surprised. Honestly, until that time, I didn't know a university graduate could fail that. I didn't know. My friend said, relax. He mentioned the name of the guy. Nobody your classmate. I said, he failed. I feel like, what? How did you not finish medical school? How did you finish? But what I'm trying to say, all of this, one small girl now failed ordinary that. I said, God failed. Brethren, some things are not good. There is nothing you have asked God and God didn't grant you can come and say he failed. He just didn't do it. Who told you he has to do it anyway? Who told you? Who told you that he has to do it? But he promised. Did he give you a date? Did he give you a date? There are times he gives dates. But did he give you? Told Abraham, by this time next year, I will return to you. You understand my point? He gave a date. Most of the promises we have, there are no dates attached. And that kind is called the test of your faith. God takes people and says, I will hold you up, you. For others to know. Because, see, this earth is very temporal. You are eternal. Whatever you achieve on this earth, from heaven's perspective, in a few moments, it's gone. The Bible says in everything, the creation of the universe, the stars, the galaxies, that they keep increasing in number, the more they develop telescopes, they count. Our galaxy, Milky Way, having over, of course, this is a very conservative, I just want, because I'm talking in a hurry, I don't want to spend time thinking. Over 100 billion stars, more like 200 billion, okay? But I guess over 100 billion stars. People are searching every day for the one that human beings can live on, apart from Earth. They've not really found any. The closest is Mars. It doesn't have oxygen the way we have here. They've seen the other one, they reported one, they think they've located one. Maybe like 2 light years away. Do you get my point? That the star, it is orbiting. If light lives here, to reach that star, it takes 2 years. So that's quite some distance. We should be able to cover this in 3 years. No. And maybe 100 years of traveling. No. You don't understand. The light that leaves the sun gets to the earth after 8 minutes. For those who don't understand the dimensions we're talking about. Yeah, if light leaves the sun, it gets to the earth in 8 minutes. If it leaves the moon, it gets to the earth in 1 second. So, don't think too much about the distance that light covers in 2 years. Oh, I made a mistake. It's not 2 years. I just realized that the closest star to the sun is 4 light years away. So it can't be closer than that. The one I'm talking about is probably like 8 to 10 light years. That's a great creation that God made out there. Let's come down to our earth where he spent a lot of time. The rest of the universe, and they were formed. This earth, let the waters, let the earth come forth, let vegetations, let plants, do you understand? 6 days. Let's leave man out for a moment. 6 days he arranged everything. It's a lot of spiritual work. Let's not start talking about the biology that goes into the living thing. On the last day, he now said, let us make man in our image. Then in the image of God, he created him from the dust of the earth. Male and female, he created them. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, you know, and all of that. In all of these things that he did, in everything. Do you know what? One day he's going to wrap everything up. He said, show over. We swipe, everything will melt and disappear. All the galaxies you see will disappear. So, what will he get out of it? The Bible says, what is his portion? The Lord's portion is what? His people. I've been kind of dramatic about describing what's going on. At the end of everything, the only thing God will get out of it is his people. The Israel of God is the allotment of his own inheritance. Now listen to this. He's taking time to make sure that each one that calls himself, that calls herself one of his people. Listen, there's no joke about it. It's a perfect one. Before you go on there with him, he has to transform you into the perfect image of Christ. Not joking about it. No hater is going to the New Jerusalem. No jealous person. No bitter human being. Nobody with the ambition of Satan. No. What he's doing is passing everybody through this furnace. When we have been tested, like Job said, you will come forth as gold. So whatever God will do to bring out gold in you, he will. You can cry all you want. He doesn't give a damn. You hear what I said? You cry all the cry you want to cry. He said, you see, look at you. See all the work I have done. You are one of the few things I'm getting out of it. I don't like it the way you are. Go through this until you are perfect, I beg. Cry all you want. If you cry too much, you have only one choice. I throw you into a lake of fire. You like it like that? No. So then better bear with me. Oswald Chambers told us, beautiful message. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Okay? Now, Oswald Chambers explained, you know, one of the three, the person that suffered the most was who?
Jacob.
Of those three, the one that suffered the most is this last guy. But if you go and read it also, it's the one that God looked at and said, the way this guy, you're too crooked inside. So Oswald Chambers said, the inheritance, which Jacob fought for, Jacob fought to have the inheritance as his own. Oswald Chambers said, look, this inheritance, Jacob, and that Jacob fought for, do you have to suffer like this to get it? So, well, it was answering the question. He said, no. But Jacob had to suffer like that to get it. Did you catch that? He said, the inheritance is not tied to suffering. But if it's Jacob that wants it, the only way to get it. Did you catch that? The inheritance is not tied to suffering. But if Jacob is the one that wants it, that is the only way he will get it. All of us will pass through different things in this life, because what it takes to purify one person is different from what it takes to purify another. Every day in your life, no matter what you are going through, you will sit down and know that there is one thing I'm going to. Do you hear what I said? No matter what you are going through, there is one thing or one place I'm going what? To. There is just one place I'm going to. And let that be your focus. If you are hungry, wake up in the morning. Father, I want to thank you for hunger. Thank you for everything. In this my life, I will see the Lord. Yeah. That is, because when you see him, the Bible says you will become like he is. You'll be transformed to his image. So you go through calamity. Lord, I want to thank you. But in this life, I must see the Lord. You go through loss. You go through disappointments. Look, cry if you want to. Stay inside the house. God will stay there and give you a handkerchief. When you've cried and your tears don't finish, you utter one statement. This is my life. I will see the Lord. Let's bear that in mind, though. No matter what, see. This life, stop looking for ease. People invest too much in trying to make their life too easy. I'm not saying you should go out looking for hardship or for trouble, but at least face your direction. Do you get my more than I face your direction? Like, so I don't have a problem with what people do. I'm going here, I'm leaving Nigeria, I'm going to this. I say it's fine. But just ask yourself, if the Lord shows up suddenly, will he, what excuse? Because, you see, God never. Okay, let me put it this way. Anytime he shows up, he asks a question. Where are you? And he will go to the place where you are supposed to be to ask that question. And if he doesn't find you there, he asks Elijah, what are you doing here? There are certain questions he asks in this life. You read through the scriptures, you see questions he's been asking people. One of them, first one in the Bible, where are you? Whatever you are doing in life, ask yourself, if the Lord asks me this, how will I answer with boldness? Will the answer be good in his hearing? Second question that goes with that is, what are you doing here? He always asks that. What are you doing here? Please, there are answers. Your sincere answers can be very, very bad. Oh, did Elijah answer? They have killed everybody. I am the only one that is remaining. That they are seeking my life. Oh, that's why you ran. All right, you know what you do? Let's have a conversation. You are going to go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. You are going to go anoint Jehu to be king. And you'll go and anoint Elisha to replace you. Your ministry is over. That's it. What are you doing here? See, let's be very careful. You have to think of the answer. You know, again, like I told you, because we stream their stories, I can't tell. That's it. They hang on the internet. You can't get ahead. So, but you know, there are things some people will do. Good side now, the one I'm thinking of. You just know this is pure faith. It's pure faith. If you look at it, everything is wrong, naturally speaking, if you have to think about him. So why are you doing this? Then when he gives you one simple answer, you are weak. It's an answer of faith. Remember, faith works by love. Self-sacrifice. All this one is because you are willing to sacrifice yourself for somebody else. Everything you do in life, just mount it. Just sit down that you are in the Lord's presence. When you're answering the Lord, all right, every statement you make has to be in alignment with his precepts. For example, if the Lord says, what are you doing? You can't say to him and you'll be justified. You know, the way this country is going, if I don't make this arrangement for my children, maybe there will not be enough money for them to go to school. And you know, one of the things, you know, I fear the most is for the Lord to say to me, but I told you. But I told you is a terrible statement to hear from the Lord. It goes with judgment. But I told you. It's something you don't want the Lord to say to you. I'm telling you. See, don't forget this. Anything the Lord commands concerning, the opposite is reasonable. You hear what I said? If the Lord commands not to do something, when science will analyze, that's the thing they will say you should do. When life will give his response, that's the thing the life will demand of you to do. So anytime you hear a commandment from scripture, just know there will be enough reasons to do that thing. So, there's never any defense to do the thing the Lord said, do not do. Because the reason why he said don't do it is that he knows that those things you will use as defense are already speaking. So he gives you a word to speak against those things. For example, he says, thou shalt not steal. Alright? It's because he knows that your salary will be small. He knows that the demands on you will be greater than your income. Now, you have to understand, when God is giving instructions, like Paul writing in Ephesians, let him that steal no more. He was writing to Christians. There are things that the Lord doesn't discuss with unbelievers. When he said, don't steal, it was to his covenant people. Now, I'm trying to say something here. Those instructions often, all right, they were given half of the time. It's to solve a nature problem. People have this nature, is wrong. But the other time is to solve a temptation problem. Do you follow? What am I temptation problem is that? The Lord knows that, see, a day will come, you will be hungry. You will see your neighbor's food inside that place. He knows that day will come. That's what I call a temptation problem. So he says ahead, thou shalt not steal. So the excuse you want to give, but I was hungry. He will say, but I told you. But I told you. That's what I'm telling you. He knows the excuse you want to give. Because a lot of Christians, they sit down in our nation today. And the fact that when they add their rent, add what their daily expenses, school fees, clothing, and all of that. So, the explanation in their heart is that is why we have to steal. So, if you tell him, why are you stealing? He gives you something that is reasonable. And that's what I'm telling you today. The commandments of God is because.
So, like I was saying to you, those excuses are the very things that made the Lord give that commandment. So you can't use them against his commandments. Do you follow my point? I've heard stories, you understand? In fact, this really happened to a friend of mine. No, it didn't happen to him. He was being taught in a Bible school. And these people were teaching about marriage and divorce and stuff like that. And I've heard some very foolish things coming from preachers. And I say that apparently they don't understand what the Bible means. Preachers. My friend was in a Bible school. And they were teaching them conditions in which a man can divorce his wife. And what pained him was the example they were given. Let's make a long story short. I don't want to, because if I tell you the thing that preacher said, you will get angry. You will demand of me to tell you the name of the denomination. They are still out there. And you will go there to shut down their church tomorrow. Tomorrow is Sunday. I won't tell you exactly. But basically, what they said, this is summary, is that if the wife passes through a very difficult trauma, listen, making it difficult or impossible for her to have physical relationships with her husband going forward is a ground for the man to seek divorce so he can marry another wife and continue his life. Amara, the way your mouth opened is appropriate. Don't worry. The way your mouth opened, like, what? My friend scattered the class. Yeah, my friend, he scattered the class. Like, excuse me, I don't understand. He went over it again. Is this what you said? When he started arguing and all of that, you know what the man told him? Now, I don't blame that man because apparently they gave him shoes to wear bigger than him. But that was the doctrine that he was told to teach. But his response was a problem. compounded the problem. He told my friend, you are talking like this because it has not happened to you. They had to come, my friend. I don't know whether they had to beg him, leave class for today. He said, what are you telling me? Are we not here preaching the healing Jesus? After all, what we make noise about, is Jesus heals. My friend was upset. And you know, let me tell you something again. I mean, there are times maybe a woman becomes really ill, really sick, and they advise the man to go and marry another wife. See, if I tell you the caliber of people that give this advice, your heart will break. And what they keep looking like, if people like me talk, say, you don't understand. What don't I understand? Do you not understand that the Holy Bible called it suffering for Christ? Okay, it's wrong, okay? I mean, like, sorry, I'm wrong, I'm stupid. So if we reverse the role, let's reverse it. You, man, are the one that is incapacitated by illness. Do unto others as you wish for them to do to you. That says it will be easy. I didn't say so. But do you know what? That's why I'm a Christian. Christianity is not the easy life. We preach a life that is as if it's the easy life. Christianity is not the easy life. I'm sorry to say, I will say something that they used to say those days. It is the hard way to heaven. Let me tell you, Christianity is not easy. The only reason why it's possible is because of grace. Christianity is not easy. The only reason why it is possible is because of grace. Who told you it's easy? Don't men get locked up in prison? Did they send their wives with them? What is wrong with you? Jesus said, there are those who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. Brethren, that is time you should go and see a urologist. Remove my two knots from me. I don't need them anymore. Say why? Say for the sake of the kingdom. You know, I told you before, see, when Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes it, I said, listen, we used to say what it means really is a figurative expression, which actually, I say, relax. Also, Chambers said, beware of doctrines that try to soften the commandments of Jesus Christ. If anybody is trying to make the commandments of Jesus softer, he said, be careful. I'm older now and I know that Jesus said what he meant and he meant what he said. He wasn't joking when he said what he said. The only thing I just said, I say, he didn't say, but I think he's not angry when I say it, is that he said, if you know that that is where it is going, you'll be amazed at the kind of sin you can stop. Do you follow my point? If you know, okay, let me give an example. If you are, you say, I don't know, the program I have is pornography. The program I have is this one. No, sir, he says, because you know I won't remove your eyes. If you knew I will remove these eyes, you will even own a phone, you will not put it on. What are you saying? When you want to put it on, suddenly you say, you will find grace. Grace will come all of a sudden. You now start preaching. It's because you know, say, bro. It's because you know. Do you follow my point? But when they have told you that, no, that's not actually what the Lord meant. You know, what he meant is that, you see, according to the Greek, if you read that thing actually in this particular version, which was translated for this from the first century Greek, if you remember when Jesus was speaking, it was in Aramaic he spoke. And when it was translated to the first century, you know, when let me give an example. You know, there's one we preach, we faith preachers, that God only allows. It doesn't cause. It's very funny because there's one major precept we go against in that, which we preach, that two or three witnesses. That one, they have only one witness. There's a particular scholar that he said the voice is permissive, is passive, it is not active and causative. You understand? You know, a lot of English. But you read the whole Bible, and it says, I, the Lord, I do these things. The Lord said, I am about to invent evil against these people. I kill and I make alive. And our brother from on that side of the country said, no, the Lord does not kill. But he said, I kill and make alive. It's a guy that said that when John said, he heard, when John said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he said, John did not know what he heard or what he saw. He said, the fact that you're in the spirit does not mean you are seeing or hearing clearly. Sometimes, you know, the drink you drank last night, it follows you into the spirit realm. Because Jesus is not a lion. Jesus cannot be a lion. Jesus is a lamb. Jesus said, Amen. Me. I will soon bite you. I will soon bite you. I won't even explain. I will just pounce into your arena and devour you. When I finish devouring you, now ask, which this lamb is very wicked. You can be saying it that time. We start, see, that is why we stop obeying. We soften. So Chimba said, be careful. Like I said, don't touch that scripture. If you don't know what to do, just leave it there. Christianity is a hard way to heaven. It's a hard way to eternal life. The word is endure. It's described as a race. It's described as a fight. I have fought the fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What does that tell you? Somebody's always trying to snatch it. Things are always trying to snatch it. Pressure in life will make you see, get it clear. Instructions are given so as to have another reason not to do what is normal. Do you get my point? Yes. So when God tells you, thou shalt not commit adultery, see, there's a natural male tendency, much stronger than female tendency to commit adultery. One. Number two, there will be pressures. That's why I give that commandment ahead. Say, let this strengthen you. The commandments are to comfort, to strengthen. See, they are not to deny you of what is good. God never gives commands to deny you what is good. He only gives commandments to strengthen you, to comfort you, to lead you in the path of righteousness. Now, let me tell you something about righteousness. Righteousness is good. Righteousness is good for you. Righteousness is good for your eternity. Like I said, this life, you are here, it's a furnace. You take your ore, mineral, raw metal ore, you pass it through the furnace, it burns up the impurities so that when you come out on the other side, you are pure as gold. Yeah, that was what Job said. When I have been tested, I will come forth as gold. The man that went through all of that, everything he went through, let me tell you, the Bible calls it, let me tell you how Paul used to talk. How Paul, why he spoke the way he did. It's because of what God gave him the privilege to see so he can instruct us concerning. Paul saw things. So when Paul saw it, now listen to me. Paul had been shipwrecked before he wrote that letter. Paul had been beaten. There are days he will finish ministry, he and Timothy, or maybe Titus. Those days, Demas was with them. And they finished preaching. And you get to the guest house where they are staying. Okay, brethren. All right, bring out the food. Let's eat. Timothy said, sir, actually, before the restaurant's closed, I waited. You've been preaching for the last 18 hours. You didn't take an offering. Said, but didn't the brethren, sir, no brethren did anything. They just all, maybe they all assumed, and you didn't tell them. So maybe they all assumed that somebody else, family A thought family B will have taken care and all of that. So what do we do now? So are we not going to eat this night? You are the apostle, the senior apostle. So pastor, okay, let us pray. They must look like, sir, we should pray. Before you went to start preaching, I think that was what we were doing. So they must say, okay, we want to pray. Miracle. They join hands. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of life, for the privilege to serve you. Oh, thank you for the multitude that heard your word today. Christ was shown as crucified. Christ was shown as been buried. Christ was shown as having been raised from the dead. Christ was shown as having ascended. Demas is waiting for him to get to where the prayer for food will come. I want to thank you as we go to rest. Demas is looking like, go to rest, which rest? In Jesus' name we pray. In peace we will lie down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes us dwell in. Dwell in what? Demas say, this is dwelling in hunger. After some time, Demas said, the Lord has been speaking to me about this ministry. I think I need to move to Thessalonica. No, you don't blame Demas. I can't be following Paul. Is that life? You know, I was telling you, many of the preachers who are preaching results today, they will never invite Paul to come and preach in their church. They can use his letters now to be talking. But if he was there, they wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? So, this same Paul, after everything, he wrote a letter. He said, our temporal and light afflictions. Excuse me. Why did you think Demas left you? You see, my problem is that you are going through this, I can understand. But you're not calling it light. Now Demas said, no, I'm going. The last time where she prayed, now God said, me shark, not chop person. You called it light. What? No, what is light about it? This is the third day in a row. We are preaching, we are not eating. Paul called it light. That is the annoying part of it. And then I said, it's enough. God has called me to another ministry. You go and meet, you know, there's a mission with the headquarters in Thessalonica. They believe in prosperity. Ministries where they dedicate boats, you know, silk dress gowns and stuff like that every day. I listened to one man yesterday, the early hours of this morning. My father in heaven. I was telling my wife, this guy blessed me. The man said, I won't mention his name now, but I've done business in at least 24 countries, markets. He said, I can tell you, church, God said to Isaac, don't go to Egypt. So Egypt has nothing to offer you. Say, I've flown first class, private jets, everything. He said, I can tell the church, don't go to Egypt. He said, at the end of the day, he took a chair and he sat. He said, the key is in Job 22. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. That's how good we come to you. Say, don't go to Egypt. I don't want to preach his message now. Oh, God, he blessed me this early hours of this morning. He said, look, Egypt has nothing to offer. He says, race. It's man eat man. Dog eat dog. He said, at the end of the day, everything, you won't find anything worth anything inside it. He said, receive instruction, I pray you, from his mouth. He said, that's what you need. The instruction that God will give you. There was something he said, I told my wife, was that not what I just said here last week? That everything you will get in life is God gives. Let me sit on my message. You know why Paul said this is light affliction? Because he has seen the glory to follow. God had given him a glimpse. I was in boarding house in secondary school. I look back some of the things that happened in secondary school. It's funny. Why? Because we're children. No, things are a bit rough those days. You know, that's why our sister abroad said that it was prison yard. They sent her to Ishagam. I know. I had to went to prison yard. If you know what I mean. But now it's light affliction. I never cut grass in my life until I got to secondary school. The first day, how many of you got those blisters that used to be here? But one of the parts of it I remember was when one senior, they would come and wake me up long before everything in school would start. Maybe we're supposed to get up by 5:30 or 6 and start the normal day. These guys would come 1 hour ahead and tap you. Now drag you to one corner of the hostel. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning. I look back and I say, hey, I don't think my parents knew that was happening. They will have warned those seniors. And we're all in secondary school. That guy will sit down there. Just a few of us, maybe 3 to 5 of us. Yeah, I know, very few. We sit in one corner. That day I remember, you know, I lived, my school is in the northern part of Ondo State. If you know, okay, how many of you know Nsukka Cold? You know how cold Nsukka can be? Yes. Oh, yeah, from that side. That is the kind of axis. We're on the same line. So Harmattan period, I have a picture. You know, if you remember a picture of my first two sons. One day we were sleeping. The way their mother wrapped them like moi moi and opa. I had to take a picture of them. I see a picture somewhere. You see all colors of, you know, coat of many colors to wrap these two children. Two of them on the same bed, keeping each other warm. But it was so cold. That's the kind of place. Boarding house. So he wake me up early in the morning. I still remember they was inside that cold. And we came out and sat down like this. Good morning, Jesus. Then when we finished clapping, after we finished clapping, if I still remember one song I raised, they didn't let me finish before they joined it, so the song was not sounded boring. They didn't know it. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Once I said that, they joined. Jesus. So we kept on. I felt like saying, I never finished the song now. The song has another part. It's always just the same. So praise is so that. Remember that? How do you finish it? Eh? No. I want to say those of you who know the song. No, you didn't get it. You said that is. No, that is. Das da, das da reason. Would you know that is that reason? Das da reason. I love him so. That's how we used to sing it now. I know you know the song, but is that das da? Secondary school. What I'm telling you, we're like 11, 10. I look back now, we're laughing. So I can tell you, it was a temporal and light affliction. I can look back now and say it was a temporal and light affliction. So Paul could say it's a temporal and light affliction because of what he has seen. God had allowed, you know, one prayer I pray to the Lord, and I still pray once in a while, is that, dear Father, help me to see from above and not from beneath. If you see from above, there are a lot of things you will not bother with. No, we were talking yesterday after we discussed that Bible discussion. How could the Lord look at a church that had money? The members were flying private, if it's today. When you get to the parking lot, the kind of cars you find there is not, cars, real ones. When pastor was okay, there's something we want to do. It should cost it by 150 million. Please, I'd like 5 of you to wait behind and give me the money. I mean, 6 people wait behind. I said 5. So they were bragging. That's the kind of church. In this our generation, that's what they qualified to be, church in Laodicea. And the Lord looked at them and said they were blind. They were miserable. So they were poor, blind, miserable, wretched, and naked. That's how he described them. Yet they thought they had everything. So we're analyzing yesterday, what was the reason? Let's make a long story short. Because they didn't know what mattered. Gold that they were supposed to get from the Lord is faith that had been tested by fire. They didn't have it. And this is the point, and they did not know. Nobody under attack from me this morning. I'm just talking. A lot of our churches are filled with people that have no faith, but they have money. Pastor has no faith. Members have no faith, but they have money. And you know, those who don't have are envying them as if that is the way to go. Man, if you get to that church, man. I wish we could see things from the side of the Lord. From God's side, you know, if you went up and saw from the Lord's side, you will feel the same. You will feel exactly the same. The Lord will come and say, if I was to return today, nobody here is worthy of following me into my kingdom. None. Nobody. That was why I told them that, look, you are poor, you are wretched. You just don't know it. You think you have money. No, I think you are poor. You are naked. You can't afford clothing. You know, we began on this line of talk. We're talking about the cloud of witnesses. Do you remember that? Yes. I'll try to explain that. That Job, that man taught me that day, was put in the Bible to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. And I'm explaining it again today. There's no need to backslide into anything. Because the thing that's causing you to backslide is actually the way by which God is purifying you so you can come forth like gold, which was exactly what Job said. That he had, when he has finished with me, I will come forth as gold. Exactly what happened to him. So that did that man, he preached that message. He said Job was put in the scriptures to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. So no matter what you have experienced in life, when you are talking, you know what God will do when you come to the throne to come and complain? The Lord will say, okay, come, let's sit down. They'll call a council on your matter, a panel. And they'll put Job to chair the panel on his behalf. So, okay, yeah. So, this is the gathering of saints, of the spirits made perfect. Remember? Yeah, so, yeah, let's hear what Chibike wants to tell us. Right. They start talking about all the problems he has had. So, Job is waiting like, okay. So, when you get to the problems, let me know. So, look, okay, I've been talking for 1 hour. Is that background gist now? Thank you. You have not yet. You pack. Never mind. So you deal with the Lord. He has no problem. He said, the Lord said, I knew. I just wanted him to know too. He said, what is this? They stole the chair. He kept canopy somewhere. They stole it. One day he was doing program that he paid him money to do. Tornado came and removed the whole tent and dropped it in a bagliki. Meanwhile, he had prayed, though, that everything would go well. He had fasted. He gave tithe and so he secured the tent with a seed. He tied the hand. Thank you. He tied God's hand. And he knew the last job he did, he gave. The Lord didn't count it well. It was not 10%. 25. Tied his hand so that he'll bring more jobs. The next job he brought. Now, so my tent. That tent is 5 million. I bought it. They found the pool in Nokonan, one pool in Nightmare. The main tent itself, he reached a bagliki. So Job is waiting. Say, where's the problem? Your children die inside. Ah, my children must die before I come. It's just that you are owing bank. That's why we will not sleep in this place, Abby. So Job said, what's the problem? Say, never mind. When he gets home, his wife will say, how did they go? So those who are not serious in that place. He said, when I was leaving, he said, I heard all of them laughing. They made me feel like a fool. I said, nonsense, what have you seen? Never seen it. That's why I put Job there to chair this panel. After Job, nobody has the right to backslide. No, nobody. And Job did not backslide. He worshipped. Well, let me end it there. Whatever you are going through, worship. I told you, God doesn't like grumblers and whiners. You can cry. He doesn't have a problem with crying. You cry. Weeping is allowed to last how long? A night. It lasts life. Say, Lord, we'll talk in the morning. I need to cry this night. In the morning, joy must come. But in the midst of crying, don't grumble. Don't. I'm telling you, the attitude of God towards grumblers is the same attitude you have towards mosquitoes that do it near your ear. What do you do? That's how grumbling sounds in the Lord. Now, let me say this. But many of us still think that he doesn't like unjustified grumbling. Do you get my point? You know, Obina, you know what many people think? That if God gives you a Camry and you come and grumble, that why it's not an E-class, you'll be angry. That's what many people think. That's what they call unjustified grumbling. No, that's not it. The grumbling he does not like is the one that's even justified. He didn't give you anything. To be able to come to Bible study this morning and get here by 7:30, you have to leave Agba on the road by 5:45, and you trekked. It's justified. Like, look at my feet are aching now. My mate, they left their homes in Jari, just behind here, by 2 minutes to 7:30. Nathaniel Bassin said, it was not about, who sang that? What have you not done for me? Eh? It's Messi Chiu. Messi Chiu will say, what have you not done for me? Let me tell you, my own song is, what have you done for me? Say, what have you not done for me? What have you done for me? What have you done for me? That is a very grumbling God doesn't want. The one that is just, because you think you are justified. Like God. Oh yeah. Come, let's talk. Which tithe did I not pay? They told me if you pay your tithe, your life will not be tight. I'm the exact opposite of that. The more I pay the tithe, the more my life has become tighter. Where are those rhymes? Hey, okay, this is not around. This will give me those rhymes that some guys used to use to deceive themselves. Some of you should know it now. Yes, if you are suffering, check your offering. Lord, I've checked my offering. It's not yes, thank you. If you are suffering, check your offering. You tithe, your life will not be tight. See? Serious, we don't. Anybody saying those things, eh? Just to defend you is not serious. It's not these young boys that are trying to build big ministry. They want to get massive following online. And now then they get all those kind of rhymes. Did you ever see Papa Adeboye say, if you are suffering, check your offering? He never said it like that. He said this for small boys. They want to build big ministry. Who think they have keys? There's no problem. You know, I like people like that. You know why? The Lord will give them a car, give them the key. They drive and go. What's the next line? They go soon jam. I told you what my friend said. He said, if you start a church in 1 year, they're not up to 100 members. Either you are not called or you are lazy. God said, no problem. He said, look, all he will need to do, in his mind, all I will need to do, when I preach on powerful men, the whole town will come and hear what I am saying. When I come under the anointing, the Lord said, okay, no problem. The Lord not called him 1 day, yeah, go, travel, go and start church. He went. My friend can pray. He prayed the whole night. He fasted. He did. After 1 year, he didn't have 2 members. One guy just looked at him and said, ah, this pastor, you are suffering. Okay, can I join the church? The first member he got was a volunteer who pitied him. So since that time, because he has been touched, I testify that he's not lazy. I testify that he's called. But now, Of course, it's not about size of ministry. Of course, they own their own church. They have churches now scattered all over the north. They have a major program coming up now in Bill. They are gathering the whole of Bill for him to come and speak to them and all of that. Because he's called. But those keys, they know they work again. The button don't spoil. Listen, it justified grumbling. God doesn't even hear. See, if you have to talk to the Lord, just go there and say, Lord, I came to see you. Say, what's the problem? Thank you, I can breathe. Thank you, I even know you enough to come and see you. There are those who don't know who to call. You know, I tell my wife all the time, I say, those who don't believe, who don't know the Lord, how do they survive? You know, I keep wondering, how do you people manage? How can you be so bold as not to know the Lord? What am I going to say? See, you go to the Lord and say, that I even know you. You have forgiven me. See, this is why I'm here talking. I suppose don't die, go hellfire. Because of disobedience. But your mercy, you're patient till I repented. Then you forgive all my sins. And you know what? New every morning. Is that your mercy? They are new every morning. You know what? If you truly are changing it, God's mercy is refreshed every morning. Towards me, Lord, your steadfast love never ceases. Thank you. I make simple requests. Lord, may I not take it for granted, though. Let me not misbehave, because you are kind. Don't let me make you angry. Any other thing? Say, Lord, for this morning, no, nothing. Have you eaten? I don't want to eat. Let's leave the food discussion till tomorrow. As a Christian, I'm supposed to behave. One of the things that makes me laugh is who will not look at it. Once in a while, I tell my wife, I say, have you ever heard me grumble about anything, situation in life? Never. People will sit down, do this here. See, this will make me laugh. See, look at what they are paying you. It's even annoying. $70. And I'm arguing with them. I say, nobody pays me $70. Convert your money. When I'm buying food, did they convert it? The person selling bread, does he convert my salary? Doesn't convert it now. It's even annoying. It's even annoying. I said, what is annoying about it? The country that educated you free of charge is annoying because it's not paying you now because you think you're an internationally marketable doctor. What is wrong with your head? You should be too grateful. I don't want to start talking economics now and the issue of the country. This country. Now, wow. They educated this number of us and we didn't pay. Because those of us that went to till now, if you are in a government school, you are not paying school fees, university. Those of you who are going to private, maybe you pay some things. The rest of you who are going to in university and you are in a government school. I didn't say federal. I said what? Government. Whether it is state or federal, I'm telling you, you are not paying school fees. But those of you who are now in federal university, you are even stealing from the government. Not only are you not paying, you are stealing. The same person now wants to finish school and is demanding that the government should pay what they are paying in Saudi Arabia. You don't need to tell them that should fire you. People don't think about it. When I used to teach in the Enugu State in the medical school here, one day I sat down with the class. I did the calculation, gave them the quota allowed by Medical and Dental Council. We checked the number of lecturers needed. I said, let's check how much to pay the salaries of your lecturers. It was that to pay the lecturers alone, not the building maintenance, not the non-academic staff. I said, just to pay your lecturers. What you are paying in a year now will only cover 2 months to pay your lecturers alone. Their annual tuition will only cover 2 months of lecturers' salaries. Not the librarian, not the busser, not the registrar, not all the non-academic staff in the college, just the academic staff alone. So what you are paying in a year now, you should be paying it every 2 months. See, when the Bible says that, as David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget, I told you, every commandment is fighting temptations in life. When he says, forget not, that means the natural thing is you will forget. And many people have forgotten. Many people have forgotten. See, go to the Lord there. I've told you again. Sit down and say, Lord, see, this 1 month, we'll see twice a day if you don't mind. I will praise you 3 times. No, we'll see 3 times a day. 3 times. No, once is pure praise. Twice is thanksgiving. I'll be counting things that you have done. Request? No, no, no request. No. My request will wait at the end of the month. As a small charge, let's get into our message for today. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We stop all of this reading Hebrews. Where did I read that portion of the book of Hebrews? Of course, I explained that the cloud of witnesses, they are listed in chapter 11. And now said, looking unto, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We have been looking at the judgment of spirits that we have. Don't forget, I said, the spirit you have is more powerful than you. The spirit that's inside you. It will propel you to do things. We've discussed that. People are, that's why demons are called evil spirits. When they enter into people, all right, you see a man living in the tombs and sometimes becoming stronger than many men. The Holy Spirit also possesses people. And what we need to do is to remove evil spirits out of our lives and make sure that we are possessed of the Holy Spirit. We explained that the Spirit of God in that, see, the word Spirit and the word Holy Spirit in the Bible is used in many ways. People, there's the confusion I find with a lot of preachers is that they don't bear that in mind. Sometimes they would see the word Holy Spirit, they assume that it's talking about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said is like Him. He will send Him. So, have you seen this issue before in the body of Christ, in the teachings of the scriptures? People say whether Holy Spirit is a person or a force. You've seen the argument. Understand? And there are no denominations that the argument is that it's a force. The whole denomination is based on the fact that they don't agree with the rest of Christianity on the person of the Holy Spirit. Again, is when we don't understand scriptures. We are not patient enough to study. When Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. In that context, it was a force. It was talking about a manifestation of the power of God. Another name that's often used for that is the finger of God, the hand of the Lord. Do you understand? So, the word Holy Spirit is used a lot of times just to say this spirit is pure. Do you follow my point? Just like you can have a spirit of jealousy. You can have a spirit that is pure. So you hear that the spirit of God departed away from Saul and an evil spirit from that the Lord sent came upon him. In that context, it is not the person of the Holy Spirit because it did not come till after Jesus left. I hope you're getting my point. So that's what causes confusion all the time. So the word holy can just be used to describe the character, the quality of His spirit. That is, this spirit now being an influence, a power that is working inside somebody. That's what causes confusion a lot of times when Christians are arguing. There's no need for argument. Just know the context in which these words are being used. I hope you're getting my point here. Okay. Now, having said that, so what we need to do is to make sure that we are filled. Now, remember, we said this last time, which is what we are reading from this book of Hebrews chapter 12, now 11 to 12, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the early days of His life, not much is said, but what He did growing up was to drink of the Spirit of God as it was recorded in the book of Isaiah chapter 11. All right? Let's just read that briefly. I talked about it last time, so we are not going to talk about it now. He said that spirit is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. As a result, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Now, let's stop reading there. Now, if you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 61, a different spirit is talked about, also from God. That's the empowering spirit, the grace to operate in your calling. So he said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do certain works. Do you get my point? To heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind, you understand? All those things, to proclaim the acceptable, the preaching, the prophetic assignment, had the spirit to make him function. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this one that somebody drinks, dwells inside him, and starts propelling his personal moral actions. All the spirits that Jesus drank, that we are supposed to drink, is in that book of Hebrews chapter 11. So the spirit of God that was working in Joseph is in that book of Hebrews chapter 11. Most importantly, the one that worked in Abraham. All of it was taken, or all of them were taken by the Lord until a time came in which the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me drop this again for us. This life is not a struggle to do things. It's a struggle, the fight to receive the right spirit. Do you follow my point? Is to see, I said this something last time. Let me quickly review it. Because today, what I had, two things I intended to do, but went on and on so long on this other matter. Matters. Two things I intended to do was to complete that one we said last time about ejecting the wrong spirit out of us. Understand? And then focus on the perfection of the spirit of Christ. Okay? All right. I intend to do that. But let me just explain again that Christianity is not, we should remember there's a place where we are supposed to struggle. It's not everywhere we are supposed to struggle. Like that man I was talking about, he said he has learned after many years of doing businesses. At the end of the day, he said, look, listen, guys, don't go to Egypt. Don't rush to the world to go and accomplish anything so as to return to the church to come and bless the Lord. He said, there's nothing out there. He said, how do you get blessed? Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Receive, I pray you, the instructions from his mouth. That is how you will be blessed as a believer. What am I saying? That's how grace works. You locate where you are supposed to struggle. So we said last time, you know, I gave this illustration before. And hey, God, many things to say. This kidnapping spirit, this is my opinion, part of the problem we have in it was that when the spirit tested us, we welcomed it. Because the victims were not related to us. They were foreigners. But the spirit of the nation said, it's okay. So when the spirit now came in, they're now kidnapping everybody that travels. I suspect that if when it began as a church, as a nation, of course the nation, I mean the church in the nation, we rejected it, we cast the people that got involved, at the end of the day, God will have just repelled that spirit on our behalf. People come from different, tribes and ethnicities in Nigeria and all of that. Each tribe, each ethnicity, listen to what I want to say carefully, represents a kind of spirit. They represent a kind of spirit. There is a kind of spirit that the Amorite had, the Hittite, the Jebusite, that dictated that they be wiped out entirely. So today, they don't exist anymore. There's the spirit of the Amalekite. And what it does is invite the wrath of God until the nation is wiped out. Let me just warn everybody, stop taking pride in your culture. It's against the word of God. Go and learn the culture of Zion. Zion is not in Israel. It's not the Middle East. Some of you will be carrying shawl and wearing skull cap. I'm sorry to say, it's nonsense. Sorry, I'm sorry. You may feel insulted. I don't know you. I'm not thinking about you. Who are you? Who are me? I mean, it's true now. there's nothing. I don't know you. We don't have any. It's just that, you know, stop trying to imbibe Jewish culture. I said that's the culture of Zion. It is not. I found more people wearing Agbada in heaven than carrying Shaw. It's the corner of heaven I went to. Do you follow my mind? It's nothing, you understand? So, please. So, when we're talking about Zion, one reason, don't go and... I told I heard a man say that when God said, let there be light, he spoke Hebrew. You know, there are things you hear. It's not even worth... How do I say it? It's not even worth... It's not even worth referring to. It's not even worth I disagreeing with. Say, he spoke Hebrew. Okay, thank you. Did the universe hear? Did they respond to his word? Yes. Does it mean I have to... Now, argument will now start. Fight will now start when you say I have to speak Hebrew for the tree to hear me when I curse a tree. That's when I will now fight. But if you say God spoke Hebrew at the beginning, it doesn't matter. Okay, have you ever asked me which language I used to ask my wife to marry me? Does it matter to you? So what God said to the universe to be created doesn't concern me. We will now start fighting. When you say, before I can pray and the Lord will hear, I will have to go and learn Hebrew. That is when we will now start fighting church. What's the point I'm making? When we're talking about culture of Zion, we don't mean, well, yeah, physical thing. I had one day. I think it's Jonathan that taught them this thing. That one said that when this woman said, if I may touch the edge of the hem of his garment, that was where Jesus tied his prayer capsule. That wasn't the hem of his garment. Like that. I said, okay. So when the shadow of Peter fell on somebody and they got healed, what was not that one? That was, The prayer was in the shadow. Okay. I like the revelation that Simon brought. That the prayer was in the shadow. Those weak Christians, I don't think angels can be depressed. All they need to do is just come and watch us perform. What was that cracking jokes? Come on. The culture of Zion. That's not what we mean. All right? I see too many Christians practicing those things. I want you people to know. Please, it's not necessary. Don't go and buy a horn and start blowing. Please, I'm begging you. It's not necessary. Because, some people are saying, Pastor Banking, leave this matter. No, I have to help young people. Because a lot of them are thinking that this is ministry. They're not going to line horn blowers up in church. Did you see Paul do anything like that? The Lord is good. All I'm saying, however, is this. The value system, all right, of Zion, it will manifest in you in a particular way. Do you get my point? It was Elder John that was telling us, no, you now, about the senior man of all churches, very holy church like Deeper Life, that somebody died in the village, and the argument they were having always ends with, you know, my people. And they were trying to emphasize to him, this is not Christianity. He said, no, that's how my people. And when you start having conflicts like that, you are departing from Zion. And you are following your Amoriteness and your Hittiteness. Let me tell you, God always wipes out the Amorite and the Hittite. The spirit of the Amorite and the Hittite actually produces a curse or invites a curse that leads to wipe out. Extermination. The Bible says the very memory of them will perish. As Christians, you have to change. I like one thing that guys, Baba and Lorenzo said. We shift the culture. You have to shift the culture. There are things you will do deliberately. They are not bad in themselves, but because the culture demands it, say, I will not do it. Not because of you, but because of those who are coming after you. So one of my sisters, one of our friends in Lagos, does this. Her father is a Muslim. And she has a lot of sisters. I don't know whether... Did she have any brother? Do you remember? But anyway, there's a family of at least 5 girls. At least. The first sister wanted to marry. And you know, as a Christian, it's right to get parental consent. The father hung his consent on the fact that they had to wed in the mosque. And the girl looked at the father like, "You always knew I was not a Muslim. Why are you waiting for us here?" And you know the counsel many people give them? "It doesn't matter now. Should be just wedding." It's the kind of thing maybe I would even have said. I don't know whether I would have said it or not, but all right. But they counsel her. "That is not a mosque." Okay. People do it a lot in the West too. You know, if you're in Southeast, you don't have some of these conflicts unless you are from segments of Bonny State. But in most of Southeast, there are things you don't know about. But we in Western Nigeria, there's a lot of, I mean, you get to places, a lot of Muslims and Christians in the same extended family. I mean, like our current president, he's a Muslim, he goes to Mecca. His wife goes to Redemption Camp. No, his wife is an ordained minister in RCCG. And they're not joking about it. It's not a strange thing that's on that side of the country. His wife's an ordained RCCG minister. Fashola, the former Lagos governor. The same thing. His wife, a Christian. Him, a Muslim. And believe me, the house, there's no fight. All this one of kidding who's Christian, who's never been fighting, those guys don't do it there. So the way they do their own thing there is a bit different. So that's why these kind of scenarios happen once in a while. Sometimes the fathers want to put their foot down. And that's what happened to this girl. The father decided, "I'm putting my foot down. You will wait in the mosque." So a lot of guys, what they do, it's very common. The girl said, "There's no problem. We'll still do our party, Abi." So wedding time, the man's name suddenly will become Chigozie Abdullahi. Yeah, no. So on the wedding day, they will come, they will wear the Abdullahi. The guy say, "Ami, Fati, Ami." Say, "Now don't finish." They call it Nikai. Once they finish, the guys will go back and go and do their church wedding, drop the Abdullahi name, will now become Joseph. Do you follow? And then they will do the normal thing. So a lot of people do it. But this young woman said, "No. Our own Christianity, no. Say, my Christianity is not like that. My father always knew that we're going to church." So you know what he did? The man kept them hanging for the next 2 years. No, it's not 2 days though. The fight lasted a long time. The father said he's not going to budge. I forgot how they finally solved it. But eventually, they solved it. Her husband didn't have to take a Muslim name. They did not wait in a mosque. Okay, I think what the father did, I remember what the father did. The father said, "Okay, I won't come for the wedding." The guy said, "No problem." People said, "There's no problem. Delegate one of your brothers to stand in for you." He said, "Not a problem." So he took one of their uncles. "We have your consent." He said, you do. And took one of the uncles, or his own brothers, to go in and stand as the father of the bride. Now, it's why she did it that I'm telling you about. What was the reason? All this fight, over what? He said, "Over my younger sisters." Did you catch that? So all this fight is over what? He said, "Because I have so many younger sisters. We all go to church. If I let this thing go, I will escape. No problem." But what happened to them? One after the other. He said, "Let me fight the fight for them." The lady that's our friend, who was telling us about it, we went for her wedding, my wife and I. We sat there. Our table where we sat, do you remember those women? All the Muslim women, they were on our table. They were not paying attention to what we were doing in church, all those things. But they came for the wedding. Because one woman had fought a fight to shift the culture in her home. That's the point I'm making. She shifted the culture. Her father realized, these people are not joking with this, their Christianity. He had to back down. Of course, pressure from the family, everybody. The man finally backed down. So subsequently, it was an established thing. "You guys are going to wedding church. You have my blessing, but I will not come." Daddy, there's no problem. Their uncle will come, give them out in wedding. Sometimes we Christians, we do things not because they are fundamentally wrong like that. Do you follow my point? Just like, no, say this culture has to change. Because you see, every ethnic group, every tribe, every group of persons represents a kind of spirit. We talk of the spirit of the Edomite. Do you get my point? So, we talked about it. There was a whole group of people, the Edomites. So you might find a whole tribe of human beings having it. Find out what the dominant spirit is and fight it in your life. And God gives everybody that's a Christian in that region, that area, to establish a new culture, to repair. You know, people, have you seen it before? You cast down. It's not like that, though. The principality over a place is not by prayer. See, it's by teaching. It's by instruction in righteousness. Until the spirit has nowhere to hold to stay, to not depart. You can't cast that. Go away. The spirit says, how? Because even if it flies away, the spirits of the people will pull it back. These are important truths you must know. You have a responsibility in your own life. Now, let's get back to that. To refuse all kinds of negative spirits. What your life will experience is natural, depending on the kind of spirit that is inside you. Last time, you know, we talked about how to drink the right spirit. You remember? We talked about it last time. What are the things we said? Number one. No, not asking. Admiration. That one is so crucial. I need to go over it again. Do you know a lot of Christians? See. One day, my friends, those ladies, when I came to Enugu, my friends described one girl who was in church, mommy of fellowship. Do you guys have mommy of fellowship on campus here? We had them in Benin. She was one of those spiritual gym mothers on campus. I was going to put that if you want to greet them. Praise God. Brother Obina, have you prayed this morning? What did the Lord say to you? All those kind of people. Yes, we had them in school too. Then this girl got married, to the shock of the whole brethren. She married a drug dealer. Now, laughter at Simon Larry's like that. She did. So I told myself, I told my friends who told me that, maybe she did not know. They said, no, she knew. I said, why are you so sure? He said, it was so bad that the church where the mother attended suspended the mother. That how can you sit here? You know the kind of man that we are dealing with, and you allow your daughter to marry this guy. So that it was not hidden, that the society knew it enough. She cannot say she did not know. Her mother had to suffer suspension for that reason. And you know what I found out? What I think the problem was? And this is what I want to talk about. A lot of people in church, they come, they are admiring people on Big Brother. Is it truth? They are church. They are dancing unto the Lord. It's a lie. Evening, they have switched over to the Big Brother channel. And they are sitting there. How come? So I don't know their names, okay? How come? Let's just take names from the Bible so that we look spiritual while we're saying bad things. How come Esther agreed to be dating Joshua? You see that in class. All they are discussing is Big Brother. But they are in church, too. See, if you are watching Big Brother, you will commit adultery. You will commit fornication. You see, you will. You cannot be, you see. And that's why a lot of Christians, you will be amazed. When they are given opportunities, you will be amazed at what they choose. You find out that a lot of Christians make choices that will shock you. But you know what? The Bible says you shouldn't be shocked. Because David, what is his name? Peter. When he wanted to choose between Justus and Matthias, the prayer he prayed was that only the Lord knows the heart. Yeah. And Solomon said is that it's as a man thinks inside his heart. Not as he raises his hand in church. Not as he says when you guys are in communion. No. It's actually as he thinks. A lot of Christians, you know, you tell them that, this guy plays for $400,000 a night. as a musician, you know, some of these are big musicians. Yes, that's what they charge. You invite them to come and do shows, even in Nigeria, and they give you a bill. When they go abroad, $400,000. I told you there was one guy, $900,000 was his company charged to go and play in India. We sit down there and we long our throats. Like, when will I preach like this? We don't want to sing, but we want to be paid. See, a lot of people going to church. Sorry, this is not personal against ladies, just because the example fits them, doesn't fit the guys, all right? A lot of ladies, if some of these musicians come to church to marry them, they will agree. And let me quickly tell you something so that you will know now. They will hear God. So don't think that they did not pray. They prayed. The Spirit spoke to them. Arise, my daughter. This is the will of God concerning you. Am I not the Lord thy God? You shall go into that house and be a light. You shall transform the entertainment sector in Nigeria. I love it. Rubbish. It is what the heart wanted. It's what the heart wanted. It is what the heart always wanted. That's why when people tell me, say, God spoke to me. I mean, my friend, go. If you see the way the thing buzzes in my ear, say, the Lord spoke to me. Let me hear. Lord spoke to you. True that, I don't believe it. Talk to me. Let's be reasonable with each other. Is he a believer? Yes, but you know, you see, once I explain it, the answer is no. Once you start those explanations, yeah, leave that thing. I was talking to one brother, he and I were talking. He said, the Lord, I said, wait. If you continue with what the Lord said, this conversation will end. Because you can't put me on a pedestal against the Lord. I mean, me and the Lord will not be boxing over your life. What kind of thing is that? Let's take these precepts of God, put them in the middle. Let me and you analyze life based on that. Then when you go home, you and the Lord can talk. My job is to feed you with knowledge and with what? Understanding, not hearing of spirits. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is my job, to feed you with knowledge and with understanding, not the hearing of spirits. So I don't want to hear. Let's analyze it. Is this guy born again? Not you be encouraging him. The Lord now said to you that, you know, leave that thing. Simple things like, will your spiritual life, do you believe there will be improvement in it? Together, can you face the work of the Lord for you? You know, these are things you should be asking. Not telling me that the Lord spoke to you. Before these guys prayed for the will of God, Peter and the church, to replace Judas, they gave rules. Let me use the expression, even the Lord was not going to break those rules. He said the person must have been with us from the beginning. He must have stayed with us throughout. He must have been an eyewitness of everything that happened, including the resurrection. He must have seen the Lord after resurrection. Because that was their primary job. They had to be eyewitnesses. Because he said, we are witnesses of these things. So he had to be a witness. When they checked the whole congregation, only two men, they had to be a man, only two men qualified, only two. There are a lot of people were there, but some of them traveled because their wife was in labor. They had to go and stay till she delivered. Now, so Jesus go from Galilee, reach this one again. They didn't witness that one. They said, sorry, you can't be with you. It cannot be one. There's one guy, when they were beating Jesus Christ, he traveled before they started running off the disciples. So by the time Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was not around. He was still hiding in Ethiopia. Finally, after Jesus had ascended, he came back. They excluded him. So, all of those things were put together. Only two men qualified. Then they now prayed that God, of these two, which one? They didn't say, God, which one did you choose that we did not? Of these two, which one have you chosen? And the Lord said, okay, how do you find out? Toss a coin. People say, no. They were like, waiting for the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. You say, you know, you have heard the doctrine that Paul was the 12th apostle. It's not true. Paul did not know Jesus Christ in the flesh. He could not have been an eyewitness of what he never saw. What am I going to say? So, my dear sister, before you start telling me God spoke to you, let's follow certain precepts. Is this guy born again? Is he serious with his faith? Are you both facing the same direction? Or really, what is deep inside? Because you felt that you suffered when you were young, your mother suffered, you will not suffer. Now you have seen money as deliverance from suffering. And that spirit is inside you. And let me say something again. It will, except you have made certain dangerous prayers, except you have offered up those prayers yourself ahead of time, or somebody is praying it for you, you will marry the guy. See, you can't help it. There must have been a time in your life in which you knelt down and said, God, I'm crazy. I'm immature. But Lord, I love you. I can make mistakes. I can go astray. Lord, but I love you. Because I love you so, Lord, don't let me marry the wrong man. And you have to have said that prayer with sincerity. That way God will now look at you. When he sees you going astray by that nonsense spirit, he will physically come and slap you. One day, somebody will carry you. You won't know who an angel. You say, come and see the man you want to marry. He will take you to a hotel room where it's between two women. At that time, God will say, I have done all I can for you. You will now come out and say, and then God will now give you affliction. So you will now fall sick. God is very good. You're just sick. You're now admitting in hospital. While you are there, you see the guy bubbling all over the place. They will marry your best friend. And please, if a man marries your best friend, if you are angry, you are stupid. You should be thankful. That girl is neither a friend, nor is the guy a good husband. Two of them have joined each other, and they have left. Oh, by the way, that remember one story I used to tell? One sister, when we were in school, she used to be in our fellowship. If me and her used to play, you know, call each other's names, you know, just play. Very nice, lovely, jovial lady. So one day, I heard that she was engaged to one guy who we did not know, me and my friends. Ah, who be this guy? She was a bit of a senior, all right? Ah, okay. So we raised issues from one brother are they sure? He said, yes, sir. This other brother is very strict. He said he can, okay, it's all right. Let's assume this brother's name is, find me another biblical name, so that one point. Philip. This brother's name is Philip. So I have a very good friend. My friend Chooks, very good friend. That's his own real name. So one day, he ran into Philip on the road in Benin. And saw him, Brother Philip, how are you? They greeted each other very well. He said, how's your wife? So they kept on greeting each other. They kept saying, how's your wife? So how are you doing now? How's business, everything? Bro, how is your wife? He said, my wife? Call her name. He laughed. He said, one man took her from me last year. Yes. She left him to go and marry somebody else. After marrying him. Ijoma, you have never heard of that before. That a woman leaves her husband to go and marry another man. Did you hear what the question she asked? Is he a Christian? And that is a good question. Yes. When my friend told me, he said, Banky, do you know what it reminds me of? He said, do you remember, we have the general coordinator. Okay, in my fellowship, we used to call our president general coordinator. So we had this GC that time, who used to say, some of you come to fellowship to come and look for a good wife. Don't worry. Those who came to look for a husband are waiting for you. Did you catch that? He said, some of you came to fellowship to come and look for a wife. He said, they are waiting for you who came to look for a husband. Two of you will meet each other and you will go. My friend said, as soon as he told him, that was what came to his head. God said, I know the heart now. Just link them with the person where they wait for such a person. Two of them got married and left. And a few years down the line, my friend saw him. He said, no, that one, she don't leave me. Don't go marry somebody else. I'm talking about spirits. See, let me tell you something about the teaching of the Word of God. One thing that's good about it is this. It helps you to locate where you are. One of the things the Lord does is to expose you to you. When God said to Adam, where are you? You think God did not know? He came to Adam, where are you? He could have gone to Adam, hey, I catch you. Did you play that with your kids? Did you play that as children? Huh? Your brother is hiding from you. You go round. He's in the room. He has locked the door. You climb into the window. Bam! You just appear behind him. The Lord could have done that too. Adam, you didn't run from me. But I say you don't chop. You know that kind of thing. No. He went to where he and Adam were supposed to meet. And said, Adam, describe your situation. Let me hear. He needed Adam to know where he was. The Lord knew where Adam was. Adam was the one that did not know where he was. He wanted Adam to know. Adam, look around. Is that where you are supposed to be? There are times you look at yourself and say, this is not what I am supposed to be. You know that's what happened to the prodigal son. God said, look, go. I will expose what this kind of spirit is to you. Let me just by the way, you know what that prodigal son had that many people don't have? Who can tell me what it is? No, repentance is what he did. Anyway, the spirit of humility. I know people who will die in that process and go back home. And not that I know, but a lot of us who will stay there until we die. And when we are dying, you say, don't tell my father. The dying wish should be, don't tell my father. Why? Because you say I was right. Here I warned you. The boy said, there's no from daddy. Actually, I knew you were right. I just couldn't help myself. Say, right now, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just give me a job. I know how you treat your workers. And that's what God wants from us. That's why I was saying earlier, his mercies are new every morning. The Lord is good to his own people. Because he's mindful that, when they worry you now, Chris, don't worry. Your head will soon rearrange. He wants you to know. And that's one thing instruction does for you. For example, I was talking now. I've exposed many people listen to me, men, women. God has let them know now that they love Bonner Boy more than they love Kenny Hagin. More than Kenny Hagin. That if somebody gives them an offer, just by me saying it, their dream in life now, until today, they did not know it. But the spirit that was pulling them. So sometimes, deep inside, we actually admire these worldly stars. But on the surface, when we're talking, praise the Lord, this world is not my home. I'm just saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's what... But deep inside our hearts, we like the fact that when these boys land, Najee wagon. Listen. That spirit will drag you somewhere if you are not careful. We said last time, admiration. It drags spirits into you. We're using last time to talk about how to get a good spirit. But just know it works anywhere. But what do you do as believers? Just reminding us of what we said last time. Admire the right spirit. Even the Bible, just read the story of Job. Say, God, if you collect my motor and my house in one day, me and you will get a problem. But look at Job. You took everything, even his children, and you and him didn't have problems. Now, don't be angry with yourself. See, that's another thing I should explain. Don't feel like don't like what you are. Are you getting my point? But don't be like angry that am I so horrible. No, you are normal. The good side about you is that you can even admit. I told you the prodigal son had one good thing going for him. He could admit it. When things rough, the Bible says he came to himself, which means all this while he was apart from himself. when he came to himself, said, look at me. What's going on here? Let me go back home. So for you to even be feeling bad, you understand? That's a good thing. And don't lie about it, because when they used to say they torture Christians, they don't, I like God. You don't know what they call torture. Those guys realized how hard the Christians were. Do you understand? You know what they started doing? They started torturing their children. Most parents can't take it. The one I heard that made me cringe, a breastfeeding Christian mother, they would take the baby away and put the baby in another room. And the baby will start crying. And they tell the mother, deny the Lord. He can go and breastfeed. And these mothers will stay there and listen to cry for the next 2 days until the baby is too tired to cry, until the baby dies of starvation. They won't deny him. When you see things like that, because that kind of thing, me, I go look and say, Baba God, you have to understand, though. Jesus, you are Lord, though, but let me go and breastfeed. You know, that's what comes to your mind. By the way, you can't handle those things by yourself. You can't. Those women you are seeing, you are there thinking they are hearing cry. One angel has put AirPods in their ear. They are hearing angels. As that baby is crying, they are hearing praises. The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures. That's what they are hearing. The tormentors think they are hearing babies cry. As babies go, wah! What they hear? What a mighty God we serve. She'll bend her head like she will hear songs for days. The Roman soldier will be confused. But when you hear such stories, don't be angry. Say, the Lord, these are your saints. Whatever spirit you pour into them, pour it into me. Listen, as a believer, there's no other way to make it successfully in Christianity apart from praying. I can tell you that. There's no sin you can't stop if you hate it enough and you pray about it. There's none. Addiction is very, very powerful. Drug addiction. Even simple things like cigarettes. There is none that cannot be broken if a Christian gets on his knees, gets on her knees, and says, Lord, deliver me. I'm telling you. The problem we have is, which is unbelief, is too much explanation of, Lord, though, you know, I'm taking 2 grams a day of heroin. It's a lot, though. If you can just cut it to 500, because you don't want deliverance yet. The day you say, Lord, God, if I will die, let me die, but you need to help me. He will answer. That's what Christianity is. If you say, Lord, these people, these women that I read of, they stood. Ha! That's the kind of spirit I have, that I want to have. The Lord will pour it into you. Before I got married those days, I prayed one prayer. I prayed it long ago. I didn't know my wife. I told everybody I would never marry the wrong woman. It's not possible. People thought that I had sense. No, it's not sense. It's prayer. I told the Lord, if you have to break my leg before the day of the wedding to make me get the point, please go ahead and do it. It's a prayer I prayed. I knelt down and I prayed to God. I said, dear Lord, I'm begging you for one thing. She, you know my story and me and the Lord. First, I signed up for poverty. You know, you don't get my point. There was a time I went through that point in which I said, God, God will bless some of these men who bless me those days. You know the one I'm even talking about. He doesn't even preach that caliber of message anymore. I was thinking, I said, this man that used to listen to this, this man preached until I could walk barefooted on the road for the Lord. I'm very serious. I was willing to have only one shirt. I was very willing. I'm not exaggerating. I was willing. See, the only thing at the time that got to me was when a friend of mine came and explained, long story now, we've heard it before, that what about your family, your parents, your siblings? Are you not going to try and be of help? It was that day I realized that all these dedications I've been making, I had not considered that. That was when I broke down and I began to cry. I laid down on my bed. I still remember that day. And I cried. I was soaking my pillow. It was that bad. Until I got tired of crying. The Lord was waiting. She had to say, weeping may endure for a night. So he doesn't have a problem. Next thing, I just heard it in my heart. It was clear. Except a man hates his father and mother and his brethren, he cannot be my disciple. I quickly cleaned my face and I sat up. I feel like, God, you can't even say, do, I will bless you. What you are telling me is that, do you follow my point? But the fear of God, I stood up. I wasn't happy with him, but I feared him enough. I feel like, you know, the people said, the Lord, that one, it was so clear. The scripture just rolled into my heart. But around that period, that's what I'm telling you. I told the Lord, see, this prosperity thing is not, it's good though, but it's not that crucial. I said, however, Shah, I give you one condition. I would like to suffer alone. I don't want to get to my one-room apartment. One woman telling me that landlord was here. And she's doing like this. I said, that one, I told the Lord, I really wouldn't like it. Let me come back by myself. I mean, my wife knows till now, it happens once in a while. Those days, this happened, I think, last year. Everybody will travel and don't even leave me at home. I didn't used to eat. It's only when, a few times, I think some of my sisters here, Olori, I think you sent me a cooler one day. One of the people said, that's why because they know, say, this guy no go chop. I just entered the house. My wife said, there's food in the cooler. I can't eat it frozen. In the freezer. So there's food in the freezer. I said, I can't eat it frozen. Bring it out and thaw it now. I said, once I enter my room, if you know me and room, once I enter that room, what are you coming to do for in the freezer? What I used to do? I used to do one funny thing. I could eat bread and soak garri for 3 days. In the morning, I just carry bread. If I just eat bread, if I remember to buy yesterday, just rub it with something, pour milk inside the cup, drink it. And you come back at night. You look. Manna. You know manna? That's garri. That food is one of the best things God may give to humanity. Is there anything better than it for humanity? I don't think there's anything better. Obina, you think there's anything better? Pound the yam? You have to pound the yam now. Look at this guy. He said pound the yam. There's nothing like that. There's nothing. With hot water, it's fine. With cold water, it's fine. With soup, it is fine. With no soup, it is fine. Without water, it's even edible. No, it was God. No. God looked and said, how do I bless my ministry in Nigeria? Send Gary ahead. Send Gary. No, I've gone up and down. I don't see anything that comes close. Have you noticed something? If they did do it well, shelf life, 200 years. Anyone that spoils was not well done. If they finish the frying, it dries. You put it in a container and cap it. Father God, we praise you. We thank you. Lord, you are good. You are good. I mean, now in that house, there's Ijebu, there's Ora, there's. Hey, God is good. My God. And I saw one bowl. It was a cereal. I didn't know which cereal it was. But at least. Siri na Siri. You know, there's golden moon, there's cornflakes, there's rice crisps. This one, look one Siri. I said, my wife, don't go bring something to go. No, but it must be edible. So I brought it down, put it down. I brought all the normal things, milk, sugar, everything. Brought a bowl. And I opened this bowl of cereal and I wanted to pour it. Oh, it was Gary. In the morning. I said, oh, so I capped it back and I returned it. And I heard in my spirit, and what is wrong with it? Oh, God. That was the day I started taking Gary for breakfast. I never did before that day. And my spirit said, my son, what is wrong with this? Arise. Dissolve. I wrote it down, put it inside since that day. And I didn't know that my children are even more anointed than me. Long before that, one day in the morning, I saw Akindu trying to sew Gary in the morning. And I came and I said, what are you doing? He said, he wants to sew Gary. He brought granola. Why didn't you just eat normal breakfast? I mean, you look, there's breakfast, there's bread that you can take cornflakes. He said, this is what he wants to eat. And I'm like, Akindu, what are you doing? And he's looking at me like, daddy, what is the problem? So I took groundnut and filled the thing with groundnut. That I let it be rich with groundnut. I didn't know these boys, God had amplified the grace. Admiration. It was after that. So since that time now, brethren, in the morning, is how I feel. And the Lord has been blessing me. I've noticed that the anointing to teach has even increased.
The Lord is good.
Why are we saying all of these things? What I was just saying that time is that I told the Lord that this poverty thing really didn't bother me. That please, he shouldn't give me a wife. If that's the way he wants us to go, it's a prayer. I pray sincerely. So when it became obvious that I was going to marry, I told the Lord, if I have to marry, I must marry the right woman. And I told him, whatever, I still remember that praying that prayer clearly. I said, Lord, whatever you have to do, do. Don't let me marry the wrong person. One day, one of our senior sisters, I was in her house, we were talking, she was just asking me. I used to go and visit the family. She used to ask things like that, senior person. So, this and this. And I told her this and I said, that I don't believe I'll marry the wrong person. She said, why? She said that, no, I not told her what I just told you. She now made a statement, which unfortunately I can't remember, but I remember the spirit of it. She quoted a particular scripture. And it had to do with Jacob. I can't remember that scripture. But it had to do with Jacob. Well, what she said in essence was that, this thing you have said is not for everybody. It's only for those who have made a particular consecration to the Lord. I told her simply that, don't worry about it. I know I married the wrong person. She said she understood. That's because of certain consecrations. And one day, she and I were talking. She asked me about one lady. I said, ha, no. I said, I was never, me and her, we don't have it. She said, yes. She thought so too. I said, why? She said, because one day she was sleeping. She had the, she doesn't know whether she was sleeping or she had a flash. She saw me with somebody. And that the complexion didn't match that lady's own. She didn't say anything, she was watching. So when I told her this, she said, yes. She said, your wife has a bit of a brownish complexion. Look at the girl I married. I still remember the way she described it. The funny thing is that I didn't even link it. When my wife and I met and all of that, I didn't even link it to. It was later now remember that somebody, because she has this prophetic gift, somebody has said this. Well, let's go. Maybe next time we'll finish what we are talking about, because we have to go and join the program. But the point that what we are getting to is that, please, brethren, we have to reject. We must not secretly admire a wrong thing. A lot of Christians secretly admire what is wrong. They do. A lot. And it's affecting when they make choices. I told you one day, I was in a man's office. What's the name of this street here? Is it Ogui Road? Yeah, down this, that Ogui Road. So I walked in. So I just told him, I said, he asked me, so, Abanki, how did it go? I said, what? He said, that. I said, oh, yes, it went well. Oh, so they've given you the visa now. I said, yes, they've given me the visa. There was one young man there. It was a U.S. visa. This was many, many years ago. There was one young man there. The way he looked at me, the eye popped. He said, U.S. I said, yes. He looked at me like that. And I looked at him like, what? I said, I can't forget that his face. It was as if he saw the Lord. No, I'm telling you, that is the kind of excitement a Christian should show when he sees the Lord. And I look at him and say, what? I look at him and say, what? They didn't say visa to heaven. It's not a $1 million. It's a tourist visa. Is it B1, B2, they call it? I say, just a B1, B2 visa for goodness sake. I'm going for a course, which will take a number, I'll be back. But if you see his face, those are the kind of people that you will give ministry to run. They will give them visa, they will travel, they won't come back. And as people do it, they abandon church. You give them visiting visa to go to the U.S., they leave a congregation behind. Because deep inside their heart, that's how I used to tell young ladies, stop admiring things so much that an idiot will come home in Christmas and you marry him because if you marry him, will give you a visa. I used to joke with my students. I see some of you girls, brilliant, good, because it's a general class, I didn't used to focus on it, but deep inside my heart, it's a Christian. I used to joke, maybe I'm giving a lecture, it's November, no, October. I said, December is soon coming. Some of you are about to lose your destiny because one guy will come. Hey, yo, man, what's up? I'm going to take you out to America. You know that guy used to crack that joke. I said, why? A man you wouldn't talk to if he was in Enugu. I'm not saying you look down on anybody, but for goodness sake, where you live should not, I shouldn't admire it so much. I will set aside all my principles that I live by before now. Brethren, it is not right. It is not right. I'm going to stop it here because of time. Like I said, we'll still develop it, how to get rid of these wrong spirits. Because they are attracting things to us. They are leading us into disobedience. And we'll be judged for that disobedience. Let's bow down here. Say, Father, thank you for instructing me again today.